gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy. Voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller.
And along those lines of the StephanieMiller.com website.
Yes.
On Friday, there's going to be a special after show chat with me.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dreams can come true.
And the chat room is located in the Step Space section of StephanieMiller.com, and there's going to be a chat with me after the show on Friday.
I was rendered speechless by that information. Why?
Did you know we had a chat room?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
That would be ridiculous.
Is it an actual room in the computer that you can crawl into?
Yes.
Oh.
So, you know the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money?
Yes.
Should I be concerned about this? He just took out more life insurance on me.
Huh. Ever since you threatened to kill Rush Limbaugh, is that right?
Shush! Yes, and several million right-wing morons threatened to kill me. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's...
You think?
Anyway, so I had to take they come to your house to do the medical exam.
Uh-huh.
So they
come to your house.
Exactly.
Wow!
They do the whole everything, the blood and the...
prostate exam?
Yes, I had a prostate exam. Everything's fine.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It's slightly smaller than John McCain's. Everything's good. But, yeah, they do the everything. The blood test and the pee test, which, as you know, was three parts of Chardonnay.
Yes.
Which I'm not... So I'm not sure they're going to buy my whole story about how often I wine.
How often did you tell them?
Yes. It's a very it's a very nosy questionnaire, may I just say.
One or two glasses per week.
Don't you drink? I'm like... By
glass, you mean a glass container the size of a silo.
So often, I'm like, okay.
What time is it? Yeah.
Can you get out? It's cocktail hour. All right. Jim, this is where the guess the quote meets the beaver stack. Who said, I think we've done this before, but it's worth doing again. Who said, how do you manage a beaver?
How do you manage a beaver like Maria? Jerry Mathers.
No! U.S. Senator John McCain.
He should know. Apparently he's not managing.
Why do you say that, Jim?
Oh, just some rumor I heard somewhere.
Which
some
one?
Radio
Which
show.
One?
What rumor?
No, that Cindy's fooling around with a used car salesman.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that rumor. U.S. Senator John McCain asked his followers from the Senate floor this week, how do you manage a beaver? McCain's derisive
comments. That's got to be a joke.
Not.
The first line of a joke.
Not.
No?
He went on to say $650,000 for beaver management in North Carolina and Mississippi.
Wow.
He typed his Twitter.
That's an expensive beaver.
He twittered about beaver. Came as part of his continuing campaign against directed spending or earmarks in the federal government. He might even want to be more interested in beaver management in, let's say, Arizona.
Yeah.
All I'm saying. North Carolina and Mississippi alone.
The Phoenix area, specifically.
Hilarious on so many levels.
I hear there's a beaver problem in Phoenix.
Really?
I didn't know beaver were indigenous to Phoenix, but I was mistaken.
Wonder if she got the undercoating. Okay, what? Okay. Okay, this from the... Because, you know what? The economy's still a mess. The housing market's still a mess. The healthcare, a mess still. But at least you're not this guy. This is the Don't You Hate When This Happens stack.
Okay.
Because at least you're not this guy. Man climbs down public toilet after car keys. Finds keys in back pocket after rescue workers fish him out.
Oh.
Don't you hate that?
Oh.
You know what? I would, if I drop my, I'd be like, I just give the car away. I just get in the car. I'd be like, okay, that's it.
Was alcohol involved in this story?
Don't know. In Idaho, an unidentified motorist who believed he had dropped his car keys down a public toilet climbed down into the holding tank to retrieve them and became stuck. A short time later, he was discovered and emergency services were called. The man was eventually extricated through an access hatch and hosed down by the fire department.
Oh.
To add to his ordeal, he discovered his car keys hadn't been down the toilet. They had been in his back pocket the entire time.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Bless his stinky heart.
Yeah.
Oh. My stinky heart.
No matter how big a loser you are, you're that, stinky. You know. All right. Dale in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on future Senator Al Franken. Hello, Dale.
Steph, I think I wish you and the other progressive talk hosts would really start turning the flames up here and get this Franken situation done. You know, it's time for our good senator.
If only I knew I had the power all along.
Right. It's time for
you mean I could have gone home anytime I wanted to and I could make Al Franken a senator if I would just turn up the heat?
I just wish we could get a little bit of Harry Truman in our good Senator Harry Reid. And, you know, with both houses of Congress and the White House in our control.
Well, yeah, but the Republicans.
Let's get that 60-second seat.
Right, but the Republicans will filibuster.
Let them filibuster. You remember how successful it was when Newton, the boy, shut the government down? Mm. Let them filibuster. Yeah.
All right. All right, Dale, I hear you. Oh, no. I could have made Al Franken a senator every time I wanted to. Oh, no.
You have the power.
I did. And I could have gone home any time I wanted
tell
to.
Me, bitch.
Oh, you. Exactly. Dear. All right. Let's. That's exactly what I thought during The Wizard of Oz. You bitch. Why didn't you? Did you see what I've been through?
I got mauled by flying monkeys, and now you tell me I could have clicked my heels together?
Drugged by poison poppies?
I will kill you! All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller!
Thank you very much. Our top story. New York the state says Trump failed to pay his rent.
Oh.
I can't pay the rent. Why, you must pay the rent. The state has declared developer Donald Trump in arrears.
They're going to tie him to the railroad tracks now.
Yes, exactly. He's Penelope Pitstop.
Yes.
He is in arrears for failing to pay the 2008 rent on the site of his planned catering hall restaurant at Jones Beach. We have the Donald here, I believe.
I think I've come up with something that's turning out to be craptacular. Hugely craptacular. Hugely. I don't know how I started down this road, but lately my nickname for myself is Passion Fingers, because everything I touch, I up. First I started the bankruptcy mumbo, and I've been bankrupt more times than Carter has little pills. Then I started building in Vegas at the top of the market, and my Trump Tower there is now the Dump Tower, with a huge smudge where my name used to be. Huge! Actually, my name is becoming a huge smudge and all on its own. Huge! 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 My latest plunge into deadbeatism, I haven't paid my rent. Now New York State is coming after me for a measly 200 grand, something I've spent on cleaning bills for my skull markings. What's happened? I don't know. Maybe my brains have turned to a snack crackery biscuity consistency from all that Trump premium vodka. Maybe my skull markings are infested with brain worms. That could be, since I cut back and started buying cut-rate pelts from Uruguay. Whatever. I'm in all the way. I'm burning through money and goodwill like Rush Limbaugh through pecker pills, and I'm digging it. Let it all go to hell. If I fail, I'll fail huge. Yeah. And when I'm drinking night train from a short dog by the dumpsters of the loading dock of Trump Tower, I look at the rats that are nibbling at my junk straight in the eye and say, "You're fired."
Yeah, his Celebrity Apprentice isn't doing well either. It's really low in the ratings.
That's when you know we're in a depression.
Yeah,
but Trump is not doing well.
We're like a pasture full of Trump cows. Huge.
Huge. He's gone bankrupt several times, hasn't he? He's gone bankrupt several times, hasn't he?
I know.
He's just playing with invisible money.
Why is he considered a success? I've never gone bankrupt. All right.
Yet.
All right. At least the guy that owns the show will never go bankrupt. Why?
Why?
Because he will kill me for the life insurance
money. That's true.
But at least I'm on tape saying it. Okay. Finally, Sir Roger Moore felt like a murderer when he killed a swallow. The former James Bond star killed the bird by throwing a stone at it when he was a child, and the incident left him feeling so guilty he was put off blood sports for life.
Aww.
Yes. Good. He had to handle firearms, of course, and perform martial arts in all his outings as 007. He's made no secret of the fact he hates violence.
He didn't do a lot of martial arts in the Roger Moore movies.
No.
Do I need to do the whole thing about the lady in the thing, or no? Is that
the
enough?
The lady in the thing?
The movie? Okay. Anyway, here's the former Bond, James, or what's his name? Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, Sean.
Oh, hi, my aching back. So Roger Moore, the old anti-Sassenach poofed-up boofte, is getting senile. Is that it? Talking about his childhood, rambling on about the guilt he felt when he killed a barn swallow in his first childhood, I should say. Yeah. Man up and own it! My only shock at the deed is that you have the good aim and the actual arm to be able to loft a stone that high. but I suspect deep down you're not speaking literally. I think you're involved in your little wee mates with an entirely different kind of barn swallow now, aren't you? The kind that pop guns shoot. I bet you're familiar with all the species of swallow. The bog swallow, the park loose swallow, the automobile backseat swallow, and you laid waste to vast numbers of each of them. But I'm sympathetic to the psychological effects. If I'd been busy as you probably were as a lad, I'd be totally off shooting in swallows too. Fortunately, I was the one doing all the shooting, so I've been shooting swallows my entire life.
Oh, God!
But I shouldn't take the piss, you old short-lived punch. Both of our shooting days are long over with, if I'm honest. I'd treat you to a shot of Lagavulin in solidarity to getting old. That is, if I knew you'd knock it back like a man instead of sipping it from a teacup with your pinky out. Albasaur.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Boulder Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, which, oddly enough, is called StephanieMiller.com.
Huh? I understand you'll be able to talk to Chris LaVoy at some point.
Friday after the show. Ooh. In the teeny tiny chat room in your computer. You have to crawl in there somehow.
It's the fort.
Yes, in the tree fort.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're not there on time, we're pulling up the rope.
Nobody's girls allowed.
Yeah, we're pulling up the ladder. Get out.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, heavens. You know, Tom Cruise apparently is somewhat controlling. Have you heard that?
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
That's so odd.
Oh, dear. What's her name?
Holmes.
The hostage. I'm sorry, Katie, the wife. Katie Holmes said she and her husband Tom Cruise have a marriage contract. As part of that contract stipulates that she must tell him absolutely every single thing she does, whether big or small, and each week she has to write down a detailed list of confessions for anything that she's forgotten to tell Tom about.
That sounds kind of like an auditing. He audits her?
He resolves problems with
her
husband.
That's why he's got an e-meter. And every room of the house.
Oof. She resolves problems with her husband Tom Cruise by making weekly written confessions as laid out in the Scientology code.
Uh-huh. That's creepy.
Katie has to confess to something as minor as forgetting to tell him she met with a friend.
Oh,
oh
wow.
Oh, my God.
If she commits a transgression against the moral code of their marriage, she has to tell Tom in writing, giving full details of the time and place and
really?
What happened. I wonder if he has
Is
to do
reciprocal?
That.
Is it
reciprocal?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He has a lot to answer for.
Okay.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof-ta. Wow, that's...
Yikes. Okay. Oh, boy.
Every girl's dream. No wonder Nicole Kidman got out.
Yeah. Escaped is more
yes,
like it.
As soon as their contract was up.
All right. Yeah. 20 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Crystal in Chicago on Man Culture. Hello, Crystal.
Hi, Ann.
Ann, what?
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
You threw me off when you said Ann's name.
Sorry.
I watch you all the time whenever you, you know, guest on Larry King.
Thank you.
And I just happened to catch a... I don't know where, I think she was on The View or something, Ann Coulter, promoting her book about something about how single mothers are the, you know, problem with all these murders and the problem with America today and this and that.
Single mothers are the ones committing all the murders.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yes.
They're responsible for all the, you know, all the people that are in jail, all the convicts. Like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there and I watch her and I'm like, and she just talks over everyone, you know, she doesn't let anyone get in. And then I sit there and I watch the Right Wings on Larry King, and I'm like, do these people really seek out what they're saying before they say it?
No, I can tell you they don't.
They just throw things out, and I hear you every day in the morning.
Thank you.
You just, you know, you come back with so many facts. I know it's kind of hard to get a word in on edgewise with them people on Larry King.
Yes.
Push sometimes. You would just give it to them.
Thank you, honey. All right, Crystal, I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Thank you, honey. Thank you. All right.
You need to give it to them.
It's like a garlic and vampires facts when you bring the facts.
Yes.
On the TV shows that Makes them shrink in horror. Scott in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
It's crazy religious right-wing Scott.
Tomorrow is a glorious day. Tomorrow, Bernie Madoff is going to be sentenced in federal court in New York, and he supposedly got 150 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And this international financier, this Shylock, did you ever read The Merchant of Venice, Miss Miller?
I believe I did a long time ago, yes.
Well, if you're familiar, The Merchant of Venice was Shakespeare's masterpiece about how Shylock, an evil financier,
with your new rants about the Jews, I kind of miss the homosexual bashing. What's up with that?
Well, I could get into that in a minute if you want.
Okay, good. Thank you.
But what I'm saying is that Shylock was an international, he was a greedy moneylender and the Merchant of Venice, and he wanted to pound the flesh from Antonio, who was a Gentile. Of course, by extracting the pound of flesh from Antonio, he would kill him. What I'm getting at is that Shylock ties in perfectly with Madoff. Bernie Madoff is our 21st century Shylock in all of his glory. It shows these people.
You know, in your treatise yesterday about how all the Jews control all the media, what about Rupert Murdoch? He's not a Jehu.
He's an exception to the rule. Outside of him, the Sulzberger family that controls the New York Times and the Boston Globe, Steven Spielberg, Hollywood, the Sam Bell that controls the Chicago
Tribune. Scott, did a Jewish person touch you in a naughty place at some point? Show me on the doll. Show me on the doll what happened.
Explain that again.
Go ask your mommy.
That's it.
Go ask your mommy that you apparently live with. As we discovered yesterday. All right, Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Don.
Good morning. I've been working with troubled youth for 22 years, Stephanie, and it is not women's fault. It is the men's fault. But I will have to tell you that, the troubled youth in this country, it really is shocking statistics. It's well over 99% of the kids I've worked with in 22 years in the criminal court system, in the social service, and in the mental health field, these children all come from single homes in such staggering numbers that, it's men's fault, not women. Women are doing the best they can with the situation.
Well, that's kind of a sweeping statement, but I get what you mean. Listen, I'm always up for a little man bashing, but I... That seemed a little broad. All right.
I have no people who had psychotic mothers who really messed them up.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Madonna, Queen of Pop Madonna, looked like she raided her teenage daughter's wardrobe while at a fancy dress party. She went to the Kabbalah costume party.
Oh, for Purim. Oh,
those are fun.
Yeah, for Purim.
The Purim party, sure. Home she wore Purim. A dark wig, Converse baseball boots, and fishnets. See, that's how you know you've begun to turn, is when you start working. You know I wear the fishnets now. That's how you know you're a little past your prime. She had a stripy arm warmers and a smiley face ring as well to complete the outfit. Hmm. And also the 22-year-old Brazilian male model.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's the only accessory I don't have.
We need to fetch you one.
I really do. Thank you. I need that. 28 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more celebrity stack and on to the economy and the edumacation and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And on the zillionth day, God created
Stephanie Miller.
And it was good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mark in Albuquerque. I'm crazy religious right wing Scott. Hello, Mark.
Hi, gang. He really needs to reread The Merchant of Venice again, because you could take that in a lot of different ways. I mean, Shylock basically takes a lot of abuse, a lot of anti-Semitic abuse, especially from people like Bassanio and Antonio, and he really needs to sort of look at it as Shylock could also be seeking his pound of flesh in return for the, you know, pounds of flesh that have been stripped from him.
Aha.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying.
Just saying. All right. There you go with that fancy liberal book learning.
I think Merchant of Venice is one of the ones I didn't read.
I was in it, actually.
Were you?
Did it have swords and elves in it?
No, there are no elves in Venice.
There are no elves in...
He's a joke about he won't read anything with swords and elves in it.
Yeah, I just...
Or watch anything.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Just Lord of the Rings.
No.
My precious. He needs it. He wants it.
No, can't do it.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay, let's move on through our celebrity stack. Guess what you need if you want to date Paris Hilton, Jim?
Lots of money?
Well, yes, your own jet. You need your own jet.
Oh.
This is the kind of stories you really don't want to read with the economy this bad. She and her new beau, Doug, arrived in Maui yesterday via his G5 plane.
Oh.
Joined the parents for dinner or whatever. He's the one that bought her the $10,000 dog. Pomeranian teacup thinking.
Whatever.
Ugh. Okay. The Queen has become the focus of Commonwealth Day twittering.
Oh.
No. Already steeped in hits for history, Commonwealth Day notched up a new entry in the record books this year. In addition to celebrating its 60th anniversary, the event also featured a historic element when the service attended by the Queen featured the first ever Twitter messages posted live from Westminster Abbey.
LOL, OMFG, 4COL831, 4EAE, AFTCL, CSL, GFN, or USU.
GTK.
I just like the idea of the Queen twittering. She's tweeting.
I don't know what it means, but I am amused.
Don't bother me, I'm tweeting, no. Holy moly, have you seen any Chuck Norris's...
Yeah. He's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Thoughts lately, you think? Wow. Chuck Norris claims that thousands of right-wing cell groups exist and will rebel against the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Will they take out the Death Star?
I don't know.
You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take him away.
Wow. Maybe it's time for me to say, should Chuck Norris be executed for treason?
No.
I'm not saying. I'm just asking.
No, he just needs to be on meds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have my, I don't know, deliverance, something. The call by some right-wing leaders for rebellion and for the military to refuse the commander-in-chief's orders.
That's kind of treasony.
That's what I'm saying. It smells treasony. Is joined by Chuck Norris, who claims that thousands of right-wing cell groups have organized and are ready for a second American revolution.
A second American civil war, more like it.
During an appearance on the Glenn Beck radio show.
Well, there you go.
I guess this was well-received. He promised that if things get any worse from his point of view, he may run for president of Texas.
And I'm going to be king of Neptune.
Texas is not a country, therefore it doesn't have a president.
Not yet.
The martial artist, actor, activist claims Texas was never formally a part of the United States in the first place, and if rebellion is to come through secession, Texas would lead the way. Today in his column on WorldNet Daily...
Oh.
That's where I receive most of my death threats from.
What a shock. He's got a column on WorldNet Daily.
He reiterates the point that he writes, that need may be a reality sooner than we think. If not me, someone someday may again be running for president of the Lone Star State if the State of the Union continues to turn into the enemy of the state.
Huh?
And he added, yeehaw.
And boy howdy.
Yippee-ki-yay.
He continues calling on a second American revolution. We bastardized the First Amendment, reinterpreted America's religious history, and secularized our society until we ooze skepticism and circumvent religion on every level of public and private life.
So he's doing it in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. So he's a Victoria Jackson type.
Uh-huh. Okay. How much more will Americans take? When will enough be enough? And when that time comes, will our leaders finally listen, or will history need to record a second American revolution? Okay.
No, it's going to be a second civil war if you do that, and you know how that ended.
I guess Chuck Norris needs to kick us in the head because we didn't vote for Mike Huckabee. Okay. All right. You remember that whole period of the primaries. Vote for Mike Huckabee, or I'll kick you in the head. I guess that threat fell on.
His action jeans.
Does he still sell the action jeans?
He still sells the action jeans.
You got to give it to a man of that age who can get his leg up that high. Come on.
Sure.
And not split his jeans. That's kind of, you know.
He's like 70 years old.
I know.
That's, ouch.
He's starting to look saddlebaggy.
Well.
Like,
starting?
Like, what's his name? You know, Jack Palance. He's starting to look, you know, that whole era. Okie dokie, then. Let's talk
saddlebags about... means something else.
He looks like a saddlebag, you know.
Oh, okay.
On a horse. Okay, fine. Okay, let's move on. Hey, guess what? The president is popular. Obama's a honeymoon. Can I have my love music, please? Obama's honeymoon with Americans still going strong. President Obama is halfway through his first 100 days in office. Carry the 40 months. Oh, that's like 50, Jim.
Very close to that, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's still enjoying a honeymoon with the American public, according to an average of recent polls. This is the poll of polls, which I love saying.
Poll of polls, because it sounds dirty.
Mm-hmm. Obama's job approval rating stands at 61% in new CNN polls, which averaged 7 national surveys. So far, the vast majority of people don't blame Obama for the recession. 3 out of 4 people questioned in a recent CNN poll had confidence the president will make the right economic decisions to help the country escape the recession. That's much higher than the 30% who have confidence in Wall Street to make the right calls when it comes to the economy. Thank you, America. Thanks for paying attention. Thank you. All right.
Wow. They have no faith in Wall Street after all the great advice they got from Jim Cramer?
Yeah, exactly. Why is anyone still listening to Yelly McGillerson? If he'd been right about something, maybe.
Bear Stearns is solid. Put all your money in Bear Stearns. Is that, like I said, Bear Stearns is a disaster. Stay away from it.
Don't they have a lot of tape of him being wrong?
Yes, they
yes.
do.
In fact, they've The Daily Show took care of that.
All right. So the president talked about education yesterday. He proposed lengthening the school year. Oh, that's going to make his poll numbers plummet in among the grade school
kids.
Amongst his kids. And paying top teachers more as part of an effort to help U.S. students regain an edge in the competitive world economy. The United States, as we know, has one of the worst high school dropout rates in the industrialized world, and its students regularly rank far below those in other Western countries in reading and math scores. Slightly more than half the population only has a high school diploma. All of that says a lot about how George Bush got elected president of the United States, sort of. All right, the president.
Good teachers will be rewarded with more money for improved student achievement and asked to accept more responsibilities for lifting up their schools.
Teachers' unions aren't very happy with that.
Yes, I know.
Well, the problem is if you reward people for giving A's, they end up giving A's to people who don't deserve it. And people who actually don't pass kids because they don't know the material get punished for it.
But there needs to be some
kind of standard.
There needs to be some kind of system where we do, in fact, reward the better teachers.
Right.
I don't know if standardized testing is the way to do that.
Yeah, or just going by grades.
Right. I think we need to figure out another way.
Well, we probably need to have someone videotape the teachers doing their job.
Evaluations like that.
Yeah. So there's no 2 plus 2, 5? Good.
Close
yes.
enough.
A.
Everyone gets an A.
I don't think
brilliant.
It's like Oprah's favorite thing. And you get an A. Yeah. And you get an A. You get an A.
I don't think these teachers' unions would go for videotaping.
No. So they would all join AFTRA.
I was telling you, one of my best friends has an 8-year-old and I believe 13-year-old, but she was saying the whole No Child Left Behind. She said they're only teaching toward the test.
Yeah.
They're not developing any kind of critical thinking.
Right.
It's just a nightmare of overtesting. Mm-hmm. And anyway, all right, much more on this as we continue. 42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Love to hear from teachers and parents about the president's idea about extra pay for top teachers. Marcy in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is a teacher. Hi, Marcy.
I have to talk about the quantification of good teaching. I'm in a teacher's union. I have been for about 30-some years. I've been an educator.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you look back, somebody who was a great teacher for you might have not been so good for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, and the problem is we're not creating a product. We're working with people. And many times our product, if you want to use that, is a long-term thing. And so somebody who, they may learn something now, but they don't use it until later. It's very hard to quantify. And so teachers' unions are not against trying to determine who's doing good teaching. It's, as I think Chris said, it's using tests. Tests do not show that. So what's going to have to happen is there's going to have to be another scale on which educators are judged, like maybe preparation or, as I think the president alluded to it, extra things that they're doing to show that they're being above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the answer is to this.
I just remember reading about a math teacher who got canned because she wasn't giving out enough A's.
Right. And so if she would have simply given out more A's,
right,
then she would have kept
her
job.
Undeserving kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the same thing that No Child Left Behind did. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the pressure to, you know, have to...
It was part of No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The president, yes.
Too many supporters of my party have resisted the idea of rewarding excellence in teaching with extra pay, even though we know it can make a difference in the classroom.
Yes, it can, but it's determining how to dole out that pay for excellence.
And how do you quantify it?
Exactly. That's the problem that needs to be figured out.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show from Tucson. Go ahead.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning, calling in as a teacher today, actually. Ooh. When I prepare my students...
Do you teach on skates?
No, I do not teach on skates, but on Halloween, I do skate the campus.
Okay.
Do your kids know what you do in your other life?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
For bringing in ticket stuff.
Like, you're like, you pay attention, I will hip check you into the boards, young lady.
They should be lucky if they only get hip checked. But the thing is with these standardized tests, they're a baseline of achievement. And the trick for a competent teacher to do is to not teach to the test, but to teach beyond the test.
Mm-hmm.
For the writing piece of the standardized high school test, as a matter of fact, it's my personal goal for my students to come to me after the test and mock the prompt for its simplicity.
Right.
Because quite frankly, what I give them is so far beyond what they have to do according to the state that they usually, if not meet the standards, exceed them. And we take a great deal of pride in that.
You know, I think your whole, tough girl roller derby queen thing, that might be the right way to go, because I know why we learned in Catholic schools, because the nuns would kill us if we didn't.
Well, see, the thing is, you're absolutely right. And although the nuns were as funny, they had a good point, which was personal responsibility is more important than any particular subject.
There was none of this testing or funding for schools or extra pay for teachers. It was just very simple. You would die. If you didn't pay attention to Sister Wilhelmina.
The difference is between extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. Extrinsic motivation is rewarding kids for getting A's with, like, cash or use of the car or something like that. But you know you've succeeded as an educator when the intrinsic motivation kicks in and they do it for the sake of the achievement and the knowledge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. But who cares about the degree? I escaped Catholic school with my life, and that was the important thing.
You know what? That's not only extrinsic, but intrinsic.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you got both of them wrapped up in that motivation.
That's like knowing stalactite and stalagmite. Okay. The president said yesterday, despite resources that are unmatched anywhere in the world, we have let our grades slip, our schools crumble, our teacher quality fall short, and our other nations outpace us. Obama will plans to nearly triple spending on education in the 2010 fiscal year.
Pork! It's pork! We don't want educated kids. We want stupid ones, so we'll buy the propaganda. Should be at the top of our list!
Okay, the president.
The future belongs to the nation that best educates its citizens. And my fellow Americans, we have everything we need to be that nation.
Obama also acknowledged that students will be unhappy about spending more time in class. He said, no longer school days and school years are not wildly popular ideas. But he noted that students in other nations like South Korea spend as much as 1 month more every year in school.
In Europe, too. Another thing that what they don't have in other countries is this emphasis on social stuff, football games and dances all that stuff, which has nothing to do with getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just part of what we do here, and I,
you know, it should be a small part of the education, but so much emphasis is placed on all of that crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember when you did your college education, you had to fill out all your extracurricular activities, you just keep making stuff up because it was important to be in 1,000 different things and clubs and teams.
Well,
it's like maybe I'd have better grades if I wasn't in all this damn stuff.
I was vice president of the drama club.
I bet you were. Is that where you learned your Joan Crawford impression? Come on.
I bet you weren't in the Dungeons and Dragons Club. That's
come on.
I won Best Actor for being the lead in the Foreigner. I'll have you know.
That's very good.
Yes.
Come on. Do the Joan Crawford.
No.
Please.
Absolutely
not. Do we have it?
No.
Well, see, if you have the soundbite, you don't have to do it. I'm just saying. It's our favorite line from Mommy Dearest.
Tear down that bitch of a fairing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
I'm just saying, in Europe, you don't find a lot of prom queens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary.
I think most people in America understand that unless we educate our children and create the workforce that's necessary and needed to support some of the industries that we hope will flourish in an economic recovery, it's going to take a highly skilled, highly educated workforce.
Yeah, the president made a good point along those lines. He said, in the 21st century world where jobs can be shipped wherever there's an internet connection, where a child born in Dallas is competing with children in Delhi, education is no longer just a pathway to opportunity and success, it's a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. Which, true dat, as we say here on the Stephanie Miller.
As you say.
As Michael Steele says,
yeah,
can he be the man?
Yes.
As we
are you trying heard. To make us a little more urban and suburban?
I'm
hip-hop?
Trying to go hip hop.
Okay,
Daniel in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey Stephanie, I was a friend of mine. His wife is a teacher, and she's up on the block to get her pay slip because of the California economy. Mm-hmm. And the way her district is doing it is they're doing it by tenure, not necessarily the teachers that bring in the innovation and the technology and are helping their students progress. They're just keeping the old ones that have been there longest that aren't necessarily the best fit for the future generation of our kids.
Yeah, I have a problem with that, just keeping people because they've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. Bill in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. I have a question concerning the merit pay. My wife is a teacher in Detroit. In the time she's been there...
That deserves merit pay.
Well, yes, in the time she's been there have been 12 shootings and one stabbing in the school. And I was curious, what measure do you use for merit pay if all your students go home alive and unwounded at the end of the day?
Wow.
Yeah. My niece taught in some pretty rough areas around New York for a while. Yeah. Doing the Lord's work, all of the teachers, if you ask me. Ethan in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ethan.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How's my 14-year-old? I would say love muffin, but then these guys would get mad at me, and I just mean it in a very parental
way. Because
he's a minor. I mean it in a parental way.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Ethan.
Hi. As in personal experience right now in the education system, teachers are, it's basically, you're learning to take a test. That's all you're doing. You're learning to take a test. There is no curriculum. There is no, whatever. I don't remember the technical term.
Right.
But a lot of these
See,
kids
because you haven't been taught any critical thinking because it wasn't on the test.
A lot of these kids also have been setting to what is called an IEP plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and it basically eliminates the right to students to go directly to a university. And these kids would achieve a lot more if it wasn't just for them taking a test.
I think the place you probably learn the most is the Stephanie Miller newscast. Am I right?
Of course. Yes.
Okay.
That's
I encourage
where
all your friends.
All my stuff.
Yes, I encourage you to encourage all your friends to get the Stephcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Oh, brainwashing our youth 3 hours a day.
That's investing in education, my friend. Elizabeth in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, longtime listener, so thrilled to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have to agree completely with what your prior caller said. I live in a very affluent suburb and have an excellent school system, and we started getting feedback on how our kids were doing with thoughts of the MCAS test in kindergarten. And by second grade, we said, we don't need a bigger house. We don't need lavish vacations. We need our kids to learn how to think and to be challenged. And we actually pulled them from the school and moved them to a private Montessori program. And it's made a huge difference. And it just makes me grateful that I have the resources to do it, and hopefully with what the economy is doing, can keep doing it.
I believe I was in a Montessori school for a minute when I was and tell your child they can grow up to have a radio show full of fart jokes.
I will.
If they
pay
attention. All right. It's a great country, isn't it? All right. That was when I was a small Republican wolf child back in Washington, D.C. 57 minutes after
the Montessori said, we don't take your kind.
Go back to your wolf pack.
Yeah, shave that unibrow and file down those fangs, and then we'll talk.
Right back with stand-up news and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hang on those lines. Lots of teachers and parents to get to about the president's education plan about extra pay for top teachers. Back to that in a moment. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like somebody did with a mother that is more annoying than the Octomom.
No.
Mm-hmm. Just thought I should try to find somebody. A mother in Britain. Just 7 months after giving birth to her 13th child, size zero mother Joanne Watson.
Huh?
On guard. Bitch.
That doesn't sound healthy.
How is it even possible?
He's delighted to be pregnant again. The slim 37-year-old said she loves being pregnant and is lucky enough to have regained her pre-pregnancy figure. After the birth of every child, just 5 days after giving birth to child number 13, daughter Tallulah, the supermom had no problem squeezing into a size of American size zero jeans.
Wow.
I am not one of your fans!
Oh, my God, I eat like a pig.
And I never exercise.
I never
Isn't it great?
Finger. Oh, my God. All right. More Britons. Speaking of in Britain, it's the Britain stack.
Okay.
More Britons remember their first car than their first kiss. See, I remember both. Kevin O'Connor and a Dodge Dart.
Kevin O'Connell? The weather guy?
No.
No, different guy.
Okay. Kevin O'Connor. I was a little slutty. I think it was like fifth grade. But the Dodge Dart, I'll never forget, because as you know, it had no shocks. And trying to start it in Buffalo in the winter sounded like Brit Hume. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. It was a red Dodge Dart.
Oh, well, that had been red. Why didn't you tell me? It would completely change the performance.
All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stage Broken, our top story. The headline is GOP fights back over criticism of Limbaugh. Oh, good. Good. You defend that drug out of gas bag. By one measure, Rush Limbaugh is a clear winner this week. His ratings have doubled since his feud with the White House burst into the media limelight.
That's actually a lie being perpetrated by the right-wing media.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no way they could have measured that in a week.
No, there is no way, and that is a lie.
Okay. What? The right-wing media are lying? I'm shocked.
But the Obama administration's strategy of trying to elevate the conservative radio commentator to the leader of the opposition has prompted vigorous counterattack, with a key Republican senator saying the move is an outrage that reeks of hypocrisy coming from a president who campaigned against these very cynical political tactics last fall. That letter from Senator John Cornyn, chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and a Washington Post opinion piece by the House Minority Leader, the Boner, John Boner, also accusing the White House of cynicism, underscore the Republicans' attempt to make President Obama pay a political price for the rhetorical assault on Limbaugh. We have the Boner's thoughts.
We Republicans are tough. We could take it. When you've been the minority party for 6 weeks, like we've been, you know what it's like to dig down deep and find the core of your strength. When the American voter tells you in no uncertain terms that your political philosophy is worn out, useless, damaging, and downright distasteful to them, you set your chin, you throw your shoulders back and keep on keeping on with the exact same process of transferring wealth upward and sticking it to the little guy. When the opposition party comes up with legislation that actually makes sense for the people of America and invites you to be part of it, even though you worked your guts out for 30 years to decrease the commonweal and deserve to be deposited in this spittoon of history, you're not afraid to do your duty and obstruct that legislation with all your might. But there are times when the slings and arrows of outrageous Democrats are simply too much. When they go after our beloved Rush, our paragon of a draft-dodging, pill-popping, warmongering, sedition-spewing, butt-insisted, racist, boy-loving Nazi, well, it makes our Republicans' blood boil. We didn't come here in Congress to do anything for America. Our first priority is protecting the well-being of this putrid lump of blubber. And when are we going to stand up to those attackers? When are we going to do it? Should be at the top of our list. Should be at the top of our list. They're hurting Rush. And I want my body.
Oh,
he's getting worse and worse.
There's nothing like a good boner blubber to get you going. Oh, and finally, the headline is New York pastors. God says God's wrath is near.
Oh.
Yikes. Hmm. According to the founding pastor of New York City's Times Square Church, David...
How many people saying that for 100 years?
That guy with the bullhorn, you mean? With okay. David Wilkerson, denizens of the Big Apple should stockpile survival gear and month's supply of non-perishable food in preparation for an earth-shattering calamity.
Were you going to store that in an apartment in Manhattan?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Is this the guy that stands out there in the middle of Times Square next to the naked cowboy?
I don't know.
And yells at a bullhorn?
I don't know.
Naked cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
It could happen at any moment. The threat is not from foreign terrorists this time, but instead from God. Wilkerson, claiming he was prompted by the Holy Spirit, recently wrote in his blog that an earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities all across America will experience riots and blazing fires that will be looting.
He hopes.
Including Times Square, New York City.
Hmm.
What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. We are under God's wrath, Wilkerson writes. God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations. I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it's not far off. He suggested those wishing to survive should gather supplies. Apparently, the wrath of the most powerful being in the universe can be thwarted by extra water, a flashlight, and a case of beans. We have,
damn it, they outsmarted me again.
We have Pat Robertson, Evil Uncle Chuckles on this, I believe.
New Yorkers scoff at my brother in Christ, the Reverend Wilderson, when he prophesies that they're in for a drumming at the hands of God. They think they've seen it all and they can weather any storm the Lord sends their way. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. They have spit on the sidewalk of the Lord's sacred gospel and disregarded the alternate side of the street parking of his commandments, and they will suffer the impoundment of his holy correction. The A-train of his righteous indignation will erupt out of the ground in Times Square, disgorging the goblin commuters of his retribution, swarming through the streets, causing the gridlock of his chastisement, and spreading the mustard and sauerkraut of his displeasure, unrighteous and devouring them like so many Nathan's famous Franks. Those two demon peep show operators, Beelzebub and Asmodeus, shall tempt them into their unholy parlors, where the cloven-hoofed strippers of God's castigation shall lure them into the curtain booth of his chaste chastening with them, where they shall be compelled to strip the flesh from their own bones for the amusement of the moaning trench-coat-wearing imps of his irreproachable correction, until their giblets fall into the everlasting cauldron of the Manhattan clam chowder of his admonishment. In Jesus' name I pray. You got a problem with that?
What about guys with the carts of nuts? Well, those? Okay.
The carts of
chestnuts.
Yeah, you're going to love my nuts. All right.
The carts
that's
with
all.
Nuts.
Mm, that's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Carts with nuts roasting on an open fire.
I miss the old Times Square and all the old movies. You remember my favorites. Little Spermaid.
Oh,
Pocahontas. Oh, miss it, miss it, miss it. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Dural.
Yeah, check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Buy the album, won't you?
Mm-hmm. Rufus in Detroit on teacher pay and schools. Hey, Rufus.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
Hey, listen, you know, people need to look out of the box and come and understand that the Obama plan for the teachers, his whole campaign has been out of the box. So he's not thinking. I've known teachers for years here in Detroit that have did other things for children and have put the children in high excellence all through their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about tests. It's about extracurricular activities after school. These teachers have toiled and didn't get the money for it. Now you're talking about getting the money for it. That's going to take teachers to another level of thinking. And it's going to get a lot of those teachers that never use the want to do anything that's going to make them do a lot of things.
Well, you know, I do admire, you know, the president's, you know, I think he is trying to think outside the box. His courage in taking on, obviously, that's a very powerful Democratic constituency. But I think what we're saying is we don't know if that's the best idea, because the problem is, like, what we're saying is that then there's going to be pressure to give a lot of A's so you get extra pay, whether, I guess, kids deserve it or not, right?
Yeah, this is true, but I do know that it does work. I do know that the excellent level is there, but it has to be brought out. And teachers do have to come past their norm now. They're stuck and stagnated on not doing for the children.
Yep.
You know, if it doesn't reach or stay within their bounds of curriculum, they don't care.
Mm-hmm. All right, I hear you. Let's go to Paula Ann in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just wanted to mention that I think one of the problems that we have here in the United States for the teachers is the disruption in the classroom, the silence,
alcohol and drug abuse. And teachers are, I mean, how can you teach when you've got kids that are, they're disrupting the classroom?
Alcohol? Kids are bringing hooch to school these days?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
They were doing that in the late 80s, too, when I was in high school.
Yeah. Well, I missed that.
So, I mean, there's so many components to the education problems here. And I think that, you know, the
Yeah, well, they're battling a lot of things before you even get to the teaching then.
Exactly.
Yep, I hear you. Okay, let's go to, we got Aaron and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I have a couple of points. One, we're the only country on earth that so-called mainstream kids who have disabilities. Other countries are segregated, and that is, it's better, our way is better for those kids, but it makes it harder on the teachers and harder on kids who don't need the extra help. I have, both my in-laws are teachers, and I have a friend who did Teach for America in Chicago, and she was dealing with kids, she had it, first graders. There was a kid who weighed 180 pounds and had to wear a brace because if he hunched forward, he would stop breathing.
Wow.
And there was a kid whose mom was a prostitute and watched her get raped by her pimp. So he had an imaginary wolf that protected him. They have terrible nutrition. Even in Green Bay, where my mother-in-law teaches kindergarten, there are kids who don't get fed well. There are kids who don't have homes. There are... I mean, how do you start teaching those kids? And then they make kindergartners sit in their seats all day. How do you tell a five-year-old you have to learn, but also you can't move, and we're cutting out physical education classes, which give them an outlet for their energy? There's a lot of things I think that need to get done before merit pay happens. And then how do you not discourage people from teaching in poorer districts where those kids are predispositioned to do worse because they have so much to get past before they can start learning.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And, oh, sorry, honey. Oh, thought she was done. Yeah, I don't, boy. Although I talked about it in my Catholic school gym class. Completely useless. We used to knock over milk cartons with bean bags. I don't understand what had to do with physical fitness.
But you didn't have smog days.
No, exactly. I didn't grow up in L.A.
Yeah.
One thing we had in Germany, which sounds elitist, and I don't know that it would work here, is you had three different levels of schools.
Yeah.
Everyone started out in Volksschule, which is, you know, up through fourth grade, and by then they determined if you're going on to Realschule, which would lead you into, you know, more, not necessarily blue collar, but not necessarily going to university.
Like technical school.
Right, yeah. And Gymnasium, which is the upper school, which is where... So, you know, and I don't know that it would work here, but it did make, I would think, make the job for teachers easier in that they knew exactly what they were teaching. What they were dealing with.
Yeah.
Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I wanted to comment on Obama's tactics lately, but first I had to ask Chris a question.
Yes.
You won an award for what play?
The Foreigner by Larry Shue.
Oh, well, the amazing part is the costume department came up with a Husky brand Lederhosen.
Oh, you know what? That was after I had gotten...
You were never fat. I saw pictures of you as a kid.
No, I was, but I had gone anorexic in 10th grade, and so I didn't eat a whole lot. I had lost the weight by then.
Wow, you have a photographic memory for all of your accomplishments. Good for you. And I have a similar... I've erased all memory of all my disastrous failures professionally. I don't remember any of them now. 20 minutes after the hour... Oh, my gosh, we have to have Hal Sparks back on.
Why?
Because he talked about that apparently he auditioned to be the musical director on my disastrous late night show.
And you didn't remember that.
I didn't remember it. May I just say he's one of many people that escaped the curse of the Stephanie Miller late night show and went on to have much more successful careers. 20 minutes.
You're going to have to tell us who else after the break here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kim in Orange County Yes, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kim.
Good morning. Yes, I want to comment on your first caller and the obstructionist Republican Party and their filibusters. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, like a lot of Americans, I am tired of our wimpy Democrats not challenging these Republicans.
Specifically, though, we were talking about Al Franken, that they would filibuster. I mean, Chuck Schumer said yesterday, recount trial, I think, is moving very much in our favor. So I understand why they're just going to wait for that to be over, I think.
I understand. At this point. Yeah. I understand. Let the Republicans filibuster. I'm not talking specifically about Al Franken.
Right.
But let them filibuster, and then let them explain to America why they're holding up progress once again.
Yep. I hear you, Kim.
Yep. Well, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and Franken is one of the things that's holding up progress on a lot of the issues. I mean, it's
yeah, but the Senate really has nothing to do with that. That's a Minnesota.
Well, our
Minnesota
caller was
state,
saying right. They should seat him. But anyway, yeah. Al Franken dropped by a Senate Democratic lunch to claim there is light at the end of the tunnel in his ongoing Senate race, but he ruled out being seated until the pending court challenges are resolved. He was optimistic that the panel reviewing his lead over Norm Coleman will soon rule in his favor. He said, "I believe we are going to win the election contest, and after that, Senator Coleman can choose to do what he wants. If Franken wins and Coleman appeals, it goes to the state Supreme Court." I love Norm Coleman's guy. He's plucky. He said Al Franken doesn't know the difference between a light in the tunnel and the freight train that's coming right at him.
That's funny.
All right. You run along enjoying your Boston Storage B now. It's Senator Norm Coleman being reelected to the United States Senate, and if the contest court results are fair and legal, that freight train is going straight to D.C. with Senator Norm Coleman returning to continue his work for the people of Minnesota. Blah, blah, blah.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
we have some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Adam in Albany on the schools and the teachers. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Stephanie. How are
Hi.
You?
Go ahead.
I'm an art teacher in Albany, and I wanted to point out that even though it's a great idea to do merit-based pay for teachers, how do you judge something like art or music I did research on this for my master's degree. There is no successfully executed art or music standardized test.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get the teachers in the classrooms to do appropriate grading and appropriate review of student work, it's not going
to
be standard.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to the art world, Adam, but I've seen paintings that have sold for millions of dollars, like Pollux or whatever. I'm like, my kid's 8-year-old, my friend's 8-year-old could do that.
I don't think so.
My kindergartners would have remarkable things to say about the Jackson Pollux sign.
Yes, that looks like one of those paint spinner things that I used to do when I was a kid. You know, the spin art.
Yeah, the only other thing that I wanted to point out was that putting cameras in a classroom, well, it sounds like a good idea ahead of time. I mean, the biggest problem with that would be, how do you review thousands and thousands of hours of videotape?
You can't.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's also subjective, you know, to some degree. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more on the President's Education Plan and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I officially declare this private party in
Stephanie Miller's
backyard open.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Chicago on the schools and the teachers and the Flavin. Hello, Jim.
Yes, on merit pay. One of the things that I have to do is give you a little scenario here. Mm-hmm. If I've been teaching 30 years, I'm in my 50s, I've got two kids I have to send to college, I've got a wealth of materials, in comes a new teacher, that new teacher needs some help, needs some background, I've got 30 years worth of files, do I share my files with that new teacher who then may get the merit pay and I may not, and I can't pay the college tuition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's the other thing I was saying about the merit pay. The downside of it is creating that kind of competition between teachers. Let's go to Larry in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Larry.
Stephanie, I taught 17 years in a public school in Arizona, and one of the problems is that not all subjects are tested. I taught social studies. Mm-hmm. You can understand art and music perhaps not having standardized tests, but social studies you would think would. And also, administrators don't spend much time observing teachers. So really, I think it boils down to a good old boy system as to who's going to get the merit pay. Mm. And one other thing, elementary teachers who know that they're going to be judged by the kids' progress in reading, writing, and arithmetic
mm-hmm.
will de-emphasize things like social studies. Looks like they're doing a great job, but then they come to the middle school or mm-hmm. high school levels uneducated about something like I taught, social studies. So it's pretty hard to judge who's the good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hallway custodian has a better idea.
The janitor guy.
That always bugged me, social studies. I mean, what is it? Is everything that wasn't reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Yeah, what did that mean?
You know, geography and...
The study of social
and
stuff.
Stuff. You know, social stuff.
You know, history and geography is kind of lumped in together.
Yeah, but that's weird.
Yeah, it was like a gelatinous educational mass, though. Of what is it exactly?
It's sort of
anthropology,
geologic,
anthropomorphic,
it's a little jambalaya.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Mary,
was
Mary in Sacramento.
Good morning, Mama and Mook.
Hello.
Listen.
Remember how they called sex class health, Mary?
Yeah.
It's health class.
That's the best.
That's where they taught us about crab lies.
Yeah.
Sex class is under the bleachers.
All right.
Hey, listen. It's not merit pay is not going to work. Obama said in his speech, and believe me, I'm a huge Obama supporter,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also highly involved in the teachers union. I'm a middle school teacher. It's not going to work because you are pitting teacher against teacher, and all the research shows that right now we're trying to do what's called professional learning communities or PLCs, where you share your best practices. How's that going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. You're dealing with children. You're dealing with human beings. You're not dealing with widgets.
Right.
And mm-hmm. What's going to happen is the more affluent areas that already get more money are going to get more money, and the less affluent areas
right.
where they have less resources is going to. I mean, it's just going to create this larger schism within. The education community is
mm-hmm.
not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's
because you're right. It's like that's where we need the best teachers is in areas where, you know, the kids are coming in at a lot of disadvantage. You know,
absolutely.
From...
And part of the problem is people that have nothing to do with education are in there trying to legislate
yeah.
how to do education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well-meaning, but it's bad. It doesn't work. And
yep.
that's why we are where we are right now, where we're doing this crazy standardized testing. And it's absolutely
Ugh.
True that teachers focus on those areas. Because they have to. The pressure is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they want to keep their job.
Well,
yep.
Yeah.
And not just keep their job, but make their district look good.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. And I think that's part of the reason why they're getting rid of things like art and music, because you can't quantify it and standardize it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Stephen Madison, my namesake sister.
Hey, guys. Boy, you know, I would never have made it out of kindergarten if I had to take tests. I'm just horrible at it. But,
yep.
I just wanted to shout out to Scott Bates, who had me crying the other day. You know, once I heard his mom wanted to use the phone,
oh.
I...
Oh, crazy religious right-wing Scott from Massachusetts.
Scott Bates, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Bates, okay.
I was going to pee my pants. What
yeah.
a nut job.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks, guys.
All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Sarah and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks
Hello.
For taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So I'm sounding in on the whole merit pay debate as well, and I think your callers have made such great points. I'm going to give a shout-out to, like, the kids who are advanced, the talented and gifted kids. So not only does it make the teachers compete against each other, we've got the students competing against
mm-hmm.
each other, which totally isn't fair.
I By mean, the way, Sarah, you know why my callers make such good points? Because Mama has all the smartest kids in her class.
You've got all the advanced kids.
Yes, I do.
So,
if there was merit pay in radio...
Yeah, no, excellent. But, you know, great points all around. And, you know, it's just I don't see the value in merit pay.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it
yep.
working. Thanks.
All right, I hear you.
You know what, though? I think competition between students can actually be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good motivator. I mean, I competed against you
right.
know other people in my class for better grades.
Yeah, but to a certain degree, I think you know what they're saying is that it's just the kids are so stressed out about tests all the time that it's you know it's impairing critical thinking.
Yeah, but you know.
By the way, Rush Limbaugh,
competition is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, competition is a good thing.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, by the way, would get zero merit pay because his listeners, as we know from last week, are dumb as dumps. All right. The main thought they express is what Jim said. I believe it was kill me with rock. Exactly.
I'll hit you in the head with rock.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of competition is bad.
Delaine in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
The reason I'm calling is it's fine to tell parents to do a better job. That's a good idea. But in Chicago, every day we read about a student getting shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the street gangs, the drug wars, that if that's not dealt with, you can't. How are you going to teach children who are afraid to go to school? And every year we read about a parent who's done a fantastic job as a mother, raised a good kid, a smart kid, a talented kid, and that kid gets shot and killed. So without that, Obama is just missing the mark. And I also like Obama, but merit pay is important. I think a lot of your listeners are right. It's not a good idea. But without dealing with the street gangs and the gun violence, nothing's going to get better for these kids.
Mm-hmm. I hear
maybe you need to earn the right to an education by not doing that stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but they something like along the lines of military school for
that
problem behavior kids like that, where, you know, this is what prison looks like. You want to be like this? You want to be there the rest of your life?
I thought that was only in the 70s we got threatened with military school. Is that still going on?
Juvie.
Well, you know, something along those lines where it's incredibly rigid and disciplined for the problem kids like that, so they don't drag everyone else down.
Yeah, I hear you. Chris in Chicago.
Yeah, I think Chris is right. I think competition is good among students, and it's good between teachers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but he was a spastic, overactive child that would throw his Lincoln log against the wall if it didn't come out perfect. So he's a little hyper-competitive.
The fact that you guys can hardly even define social studies, let alone say something that you learned from social studies, is probably a pretty good indication that it's a waste of time.
Well, no, it's not a waste of time because history is lumped in there, and you must learn history.
But then why does it have separate classes for history and geography?
And government. Yeah.
Exactly. And then as far as you guys are talking about the system where you kind of assess a child's abilities at grade four or whatever and then set them on their course, I think that's a horrible idea, too, because... you know, Thomas Edison, his teacher told his mother that he was retarded when he was in elementary school.
Yeah. Albert Einstein, too.
Oh, there was a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
All right.
And Albert Einstein was terrible at math in his youth.
Cindy on the live blog was saying that, tracking kids isn't a good idea because there are some learning disabilities that will get kids on the tech school track when they really should be on the college track. So,
learning disabilities.
I think Jim just brings that up to pronounce fancy German words and make us all look stupid.
Yeah.
42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, can we skip to cut 20 for a minute? This is whoever his teacher was would not have gotten merit pay. Let's take a listen to Glenn Beck on science.
When we put science in front of ethics, we start having a bunch of people walking around, especially progressive scientists, walking around in little white coats and talking about, hey, we can make the master race. Why don't we go ahead and use eugenics? That happened in America with progressives and science when they decided that we can make people better, and they took out all of the ethics. I mean, what's to say when we don't attach principles and ethics to things that this just doesn't go off the road?
Okay, so the Nazis were liberals, is his point.
Yeah.
Ring time for
progressive scientists?
Progressive scientists
are
who...
making a master race?
They're the ones who believe in science, the progressive scientists.
Or, alternatively, Glenn Beck.
You are an idiot.
And that may have been the most insanely idiotic thing I've ever heard.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point... were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
I mean,
everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I mean, obviously, ethics have a role to play in science, but to blame progressives for
progressive
Nazi eugenics?
Yeah. Yes, progressive scientists who are planning to make a master race. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. Yeah, I'm listening to this conversation. It's really interesting to me. What do we determine that merit's merit, I guess?
Yeah.
What are we looking at with teachers? You know, I mean, I believe from a developmental stage, most kids, when they're interacting, especially the younger ages, when they're interacting with a teacher, it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about knowing exactly all the stuff that they're supposed to, the details in there, but it's about the relationship. And is this somebody that I can trust and relate to and who's looking out for my best welfare? That's what children do. That's how they survive. And do we have teachers that know how to do that, or do they reduce our children to little automatons that are simply supposed to, you know, cross the line here and dot the I there? I have a sister who is...
we don't want little robots that will grow up to marry Tom Cruise. We don't need that.
Right, and not teach critical thinking and things like that. That would be... The thing about my sister is she teaches the kids who nobody else wants. The ones, the girls who are now in the second or third pregnancy, the guys who have been ritually abused throughout the years. She loves these kids, and she keeps coming back to them, and our whole family just shakes her head. One kid tied one of these firecracker things to her phone, so when she answered it, it blew up in her ear, and now she wears a hearing aid.
Oh, my God.
What did she do? My response was, because I'm so kind, would I just sue him? And she goes, yeah, and get what? You know, because they come from very, very poor families.
Yep.
This kid had no idea that that was a problem. He thought it would be funny. He did not mean malice.
My
so,
day.
You know, when we look at, we have to look at teachers and their ability to do what they're doing, but let's not just make it about test scores, but what's going on in that classroom. Is it an environment that is open and conducive to a child saying, I can learn, I feel safe here? Because my sister Paula says, I'm not a teacher anymore. I'm a social worker. I'm a dietitian.
Yeah,
I'm a conflict mediator.
Because parents aren't doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go to, that's what you got to say. President Obama has said some good stuff, I think, about that. And it seems like common sense, and the right wing mocks it, but just about turn off the TV. Talk to your kids. Sit down. Do some homework with them, you know?
A friend of mine teaches fifth grade, and she says that they have to participate in state-mandated PE testing. They're judged on an individual student's body mass index. So if you have any fat kids in your class, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, shove salad down their throat.
Yeah.
They can't play in any of our reindeer games. All right, Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Kim in San Francisco.
Hey, first of all...
You know, Kim, I think we should teach fat kids, skinny kids, and kids to climb on rocks, don't you?
I take this really personally because I have a feeling they would have shoved, like, X-lax in my mouth at that age, and that's just not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what I want to say is this whole competition is good for us mantra. You guys, we really, really have to examine this because there are so many bad things that have happened in this culture because of it. For instance, one of the things
George
that you
Bush.
Can say about the economy right now and the mortgage crisis, we are viewing each other as competition instead of partners in this whole thing. And the mortgage crisis...
Right. Well, you know what, Kim? It's like Warren Buffett just said the other day. We're all in the same boat now.
We are part of the same country. And just like Obama said, but let me tell you something. The mortgage crisis thing, they were competing with other mortgages, with other mortgage companies, and they were given bonuses to beat the competition.
Right.
That caused dysfunction. Also, I got to say, in the 80s when my daughter was in kindergarten, I went to her class, and she had a brand-new teacher, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I went in to visit her, and the teacher was so depressed, and I said, what's wrong? And she said, in this one class, I have 7 different languages now. And most of the parents of these kids are depending on them learning English to help them communicate in this society. And she said, there is no way. She said, I'm bilingual, but I don't know 7 languages. So education is also affected by government policies that they have no control over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hear you. Susan in San Francisco is a teacher. Hi, Suze.
Oh, hello. You just said I'm a teacher, and I agree with what everybody has said. And one thing I really point I want to make, I think, is a solution.
is the administrators. I've been teaching for 20 years, and I'd say 99% of the teachers are unbelievably, incredibly good, hardworking, dedicated, and getting very little credit for it. But the administrators, I would say at least half of them are incompetent. And if they're making the decision, we're really in trouble. They're the guys who should be in the classroom when the students, when the teacher isn't doing the right job, they should be in there giving them the help they need. And if they can't, you know, come up to par, then maybe they have to go. But, you know, for 1 or 2% of teachers that aren't doing their job, merit pay obviously just isn't going to work. And we're in overcrowded classrooms. And just to give you two quick examples, I put in a referral for a kid that was screaming and yelling at me, and I still haven't gotten anything back from the administrator. Mm-hmm. I emailed her twice, and I've gotten nothing back from that referral. The other day I had a girl that I thought had been drinking, but because she wasn't stumbling and falling over and she seemed okay and I talked to her, I didn't even bother to call the administrators because I don't know what they're doing. Part of it is No Child Left Behind, and they're meetings all the time, and that's what we should be talking about.
No, listen, you guys do the Lord's work. I remember out here in California when the governor was calling you guys special interests. I'm like, you know, because it's such a glamorous, high-paying job. Yeah,
they're, exactly.
I'm thinking maybe your special interest is in teaching kids. They call me crazy. All right. Thank you, honey. Steve in Orange County on Husky Boys, like Chris LaBoy.
Steve in Orange County, the new home of Octomom, who literally lives right around the corner from me.
Oh, great. You're going to have that media circus near you.
Say boy howdy.
It's great. As a matter of fact, the Denny's over in La Habra now has an Octomom special where it comes with 14 eggs, no sausage, and when you're done, everyone around you gets to pay for it all.
Hey, we've heard that before, but you can't hear it enough.
Hey, anyways, I just wanted to let Chris know, who's a great guy, competition against other students doesn't count when it's to see who's the huskiest kid in class.
Well, that is true. I won.
Did you win that hands down?
I won.
I won, too.
I won.
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of your Husky Boy stories, both of you.
Roman Gomez looking at me during silent reading and just saying, you're fat.
We hate Roman Gomez at the Stephanie Miller Show. If you're listening, Roman. Don't make me tell the story about Carol Fisher beating me up in front of the Y again. All right.
She shoved you into the bushes.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
My little Catholic girl uniform. Cecily, in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you said my name right. Nice.
All right.
My issue is, okay, my mother in Tennessee, along with every teacher in the school system, has been offered early retirement because they're having trouble meeting their funding and actually being able to pay the teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's happened here in Chicago. I have a neighbor upstairs who's a teacher, and they're doing the same thing here with teachers who are making too much because they go on seniority pay. And so what happens if you switch that over and you do merit-based pay, and then you have an economic downturn where they're having trouble paying the teachers that are performing well.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know?
Yep. I know. Let's go to Scott in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Scott.
I just think everybody's got it all backwards. You know, you got to quit blaming the teachers. I mean,
Who's blaming the teachers?
They're doing the best they can. They're teaching to the asinine test. They're going the extra mile. You know,
that's what I said.
And you know, they're closing my daughter's school. And you go to the office, it looks like a MASH unit. You know, they got big stuff up everywhere where everybody has to write down, you know, what's going on, just so they can try to figure out how to cram 1,100 students into, you know, a couple other schools in the area. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's all funding and it's all Reagan. For 20-some, you know, how many years of the stupid policies. And, you know, that's the facts. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's my opinion.
All right. Thank you. I don't think he would get a good grade in reading comprehension or listening comprehension.
No, because
we just said all
We haven't said anything bad about teachers.
What? Who said? Did you say something?
He was really going for more for speed, not comprehension.
Okay.
Uh-huh. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel talking more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like somebody did with a guest quote for Jim Ward. And since we're talking about school and teachers, this has to do with science. Who said
science?
Thank you. President Obama's executive order is a huge win for the millions of people who suffer from spinal cord injuries, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and many other illnesses. Who said that?
Dr. Mengele.
Spectacularly wrong.
No. He's on a German theme this morning.
Yeah.
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, close. Okay, Austrian.
Sure.
Who said Californians were the first of the nation to support and fund embryonic stem cell research, and we are big believers in the power of this revolutionary science to not only improve, but to save lives?
Dolph Lundgren.
Also close, but no. The governor, Arnold.
He was Swedish, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, who said I applaud President Obama for removing this barrier, which allows California to maximize critical research funding so we can continue to lead the world in stem cell research? Who said that?
Grace Jones.
Also close, but no, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But she was a slave to the rhythm.
About the California and the stem cells and the things of this nature.
Let's see, if it said things of this nature, then I would have known.
Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't printed there. I'm sure he thought it. Okay. What do you call it? Crazy religious right-wing Scott?
Yes.
He of the Zionist and homosexual plots lately?
Yes.
He's sprouted a fan club. Kara from Chicago with a conspiracy theory. Not really. She's just owning up to things. Dear Stephanie, I was dismayed yesterday on the way to work to listen to your caller, Scott. Much to my surprise and chagrin, I realized he was much closer to figuring out the plots of my father's Zionist tribes than one would expect. While Scott believed that our goals were to make all of our media outlets unprofitable until they failed, driving people to the computer for their news, allowing us to easily track them. As a software engineer, I've had the authority to participate in the design of the mind control devices that will be added to the new microchips being produced for electrical devices. Mm-hmm. These will allow us to seize control of the thoughts of people within a mile radius of any cell phone, iPod, or laptop. My suggestion to Scott is to find some remote patch of woods without electricity or modern electronics if he intends to not be soon a servant of the Zionist overlords.
Mm. I suspect he already lives there. In a Ted Kaczynski-style hut.
On Cape Cod.
Being only half Jewish, I am unfortunately not privy to the other parts of the plan, such as the one that includes the hordes of married gay couples coming home to recruit straight children to the gay agenda. Nor am I quite sure where the Homosexual Jewish Alliance was formed, but I'm quite certain that the overlords know what they're doing.
I think it was on Broadway.
Kara from
they don't go for booze and dope.
Kara from Chicago, who is the official Zionist software engineer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
All right, and now a couple of stories about the sad state of the Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, dear. Republican insiders tell Political Wire that a no-confidence vote on RNC chairman Michael Steele is likely to be called after the NY20 special election on March 31st, regardless of whether Republicans win the seat or not.
Ooh, wow.
Kayton Dawson, who came in second in the January RNC vote, is said to be quietly organizing a vote, is getting the support of several state party chairmen who want to dump Steele.
That's funny!
Sounding very Lord of the Flies, isn't it?
I guess Michelle Bachmann will have to retract her statement. He apparently don't be the
he
man.
He might not be the man anymore.
No.
And he is the kid with the glasses, I'm just saying.
Piggy? Oh. Piggy. That was the character's
Piggy.
Name.
Piggy.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I got reading comprehension.
Yes, you did. All right. Story number two is about Senator Hooker Vitter. He allegedly likes to wear the diapers when he's with the hookers.
According to the hooker he was with. You know.
Last week, Senator Hooker Vitter went ballistic on an airline worker after missing a flight from Washington Dulles Airport to New Orleans. After arriving just 20 minutes before the plane was scheduled to depart, Vitter gave the airline employee who denied him entrance to the already closed gate an earful, employing the "Do you know who I am?" tirade.
Oh, you've done that.
No, I have not. Mine is, "Don't you know who I think I used to be?"
What, think I used to be? I should have had one of those Larry Craig cards. "I'm a U.S. senator. What do you think of that?"
Here's my card. But when the employee left you, that was my favorite part of that whole story, can I just say? What do you think of that? But when the employee left to find a security guard, Bitter simply fled the scene.
Oh, he's after, fleeing the interview. He's fleeing the interview.
After crying like a baby. Bitter, according to the witness, remained defiant, yelling at the employee who could call the police if he wanted to, and their supervisors, who presumably might be more impressed with Senator's pin. After talking a big huffy game, Bitter apparently thought better of pushing the confrontation any further, and went, he fled the interview.
Went to change his diaper.
On the koala care seat.
Yeah.
Exactly. He went to change his diaper. Okay.
On the very same koala care station that I'm sure Larry Craig was bent over at one point.
Am I a romantic? Well,
now.
What?
I wish they had video. He'd be the, like that woman in Taiwan that started screaming when she missed
in
her
Hong
flight.
In Hong Kong, yeah.
Hong Kong, they're pulling her off. Jeez. There's other planes. Okay. Let's.
So effective.
You know what? To her credit, I believe her dog was already on the plane, and she didn't want to leave the dog behind.
Oh, that would have been me. Would have been me then. Okay. Yeah, I would have hurtled over the drink cart to get on the plane.
Yeah, so to her credit, that's why she was throwing the fit.
Okay. All right, let's check some entertainment news. Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, New York State says Trump failed to pay his rent. He can pay the rent. Why, he must pay the rent. The state has declared a developer Donald Trump in arrears.
He'll be tied to the railroad tracks pretty soon.
Yeah. He's Penelope Pitstop.
That's right.
He's in arrears for failing to pay the 2008 rent on the site of his planned catering hall restaurant at Jones Beach. We have the Donald here.
I've come up with something that I think is turning out to be craptacular. Hugely craptacular.
Hugely.
I don't know how I started on this road, but lately my nickname for myself is Passion Fingers, because everything I touch, I up. First I started the bankruptcy mambo, and I've been bankrupt more times than Carter has little pills. Then I started building in Vegas at the top of the market, and my Trump Tower there is now the Dump Tower with a huge smudge where my name used to be. Huge.
Huge.
Actually, my name is becoming a huge smudge all its own.
Huge.
Huge. My latest plunge into deadbeatism? I haven't paid my rent. Now New York State is coming after me for a measly $200,000, something I'd spend on cleaning bills for my skull merkins. What's happened? I don't know. Maybe my brains have turned into a snack crackery biscuity consistency from all that Trump premium vodka. Maybe my skull merkins are infested with brain worms.
Yeah.
That could be, since I cut back and started buying cut-rate pelts from Uruguay. Whatever, I'm in all the way. I'm burning through money and goodwill like Rush Limbaugh through pecker pills and not digging it. Let it all go to hell. If I fail, I fail huge.
Huge!
And when I'm drinking night train from a short dog by the dumpsters of the loading dock of Trump Tower, I'll look at the rats that are nibbling on my junk straight in the eye and say, you're fired.
With it. Yeah. And finally, Sir Roger Moore felt like a murderer when he killed a swallow. The former James Bond star killed the bird by throwing a stone at it when he was a child, and the incident left him feeling so guilty he was put off blood sports for life. Roger, who has had to handle firearms and perform martial arts in all his outings as 007, has made no secret of the fact he hates violence.
Yeah, the Roger Moore films were kind of famous for him not using martial arts.
For him being a great big... That's what Sir Sean Connery said.
They were a little more cartoony,
Oh, hi, my aching back. So Roger Moore, the old anti-Sassenach poof of birthday, is getting senile, is that it? Talking about his childhood, rambling on about the guilt he felt when he killed a barn swallow in his first childhood. Man up, man, and own it! My only shock of the deed is that he had the good aim and the actual arm to be able to loft a stone that high. But I suspect deep down you're not speaking literally. I think you were involved with your little wee mates with an entirely different kind of barn swallow now, weren't you? The kind the popguns shoot. I bet you're familiar with all the species of swallow. The bog swallow, the park loose swallow, the automobile backseat swallow, and you laid waste to vast numbers of each of them. But I'm sympathetic to the psychological effects. If I'd been as busy as you, probably well as a lad, I'd be off shooting swallows too. Fortunately, I was the one doing all the shooting, so I've been shooting swallows my entire life. But I shouldn't take the piss, you old shirt-lifter ponce. Both of our shooting days are long over with, if I'm honest. I'd treat you to a shot of Lagavulin in solidarity to getting old. That is, if I knew you'd knock it back like a man instead of sipping it from a teacup with your pinky out. Albatross.
It's
kiss of death.
Yes, that's all for Tinsel Talk. For the swallow, it was the kiss of death.
Thank God.
If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall,
check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Oddly enough.
You know this teacher I bet got merit pay?
Who?
Barack Obama. He apparently is befuddling and bewildering people on the right who say he's moving too fast, doing too many things, and getting too much done, and he knows too much stuff.
They got used to the old guy.
Yeah, I'm going to be on vacation, so don't call.
Just, yeah, because the last guy couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time. There's no reason.
I'm riding my back.
President Obama getting pinged these days by critics who say he's going too fast, doing too much.
Stop it!
Since when has that been a liability?
Republican whip.
Because they can't obstruct fast enough.
Yeah.
We can't keep up with what to obstruct next. Eric Cantor said, it's like we don't have any urgency here about the economy, citing Obama's
urgency
events in recent days.
And,
you know, Eric, maybe some of these subjects are connected.
Yeah.
He cited Obama's events in recent days on health care, education, and stem cell research.
No, that's important.
He said, I just would hope that we would focus more rather than every single day talking about something else.
It's not a single issue job being president of the most powerful country in the world.
Kind of a slow learner.
Yeah.
The president.
I know there's some who believe we can only handle one challenge at a time.
Yeah.
They forget that Lincoln helped lay down the Transcontinental Railroad and passed the Homestead Act and created the National Academy of Sciences in the midst of Civil War.
Yes.
Yes.
Likewise, President Roosevelt didn't have the luxury of choosing between ending a depression and fighting a war. He had to do both. President Kennedy didn't have the luxury of choosing between civil rights and sending us to the moon. And we don't have the luxury of choosing between getting our economy moving now and rebuilding it over the long term.
Come on, he's the smartest boy in class.
I think Eric Cantor responded, I'm not a smart man.
You got a box of chocolates?
Life is like a box of chocolates. I don't know what that means.
To which Eric Cantor replied, tell me about the rabbits again, President Obama.
Tell me about the rabbits, George. Tell me about the rabbits.
Oh, it's so sad.
Obama said the nation will risk its place as a global economic leader unless the crushing cost of health care is brought down, energy use is transformed, and education is improved. By the way, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs was asked a similar question about the president's many activities that are confusing.
Yeah.
He's moving too fast. No. Someone asked him, does it muddle the message?
Does it muddle the message?
He said, your analogy was about the house is on fire. Which room are you going to put out first? Are you going to call the fire department and ask them to put it all out? Or are you going to say, you know what, we love the living room, start over there. And if you can, get Cookie to the kitchen next to the den. You get the idea, the whole house is in ashes. And
whatever.
I don't know what that means.
Yes.
Thank you,
Eric Cantor.
Representative Cantor.
Eric Cantor went on to say,
I'm not a smart man.
I believe he simply said,
but I know how to talk on the TV.
And make my Adam's apple
bob
up
and down,
in indignation. All right.
You're moving too fast.
So's your Adam's apple. You pipe down.
You're making me nervous.
How are they going to give him a swirly if he keeps moving so fast?
You know, my my Lancer Newfie Pooh Bear, God rest her soul, she was not the brightest pup in the world. And that's reminding me around kids used to make her really nervous because they move too fast.
Yeah.
She's just like, that's what Eric Cantor is like. He's like a big, dumb newfie. Too confused.
Which way did he go? Which way did he go?
20 minutes after the hour. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in L.A. wants to respond to Chris saying that all teachers should be executed for treason.
What?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did we misquote you? Hi, Eric. Or, I'm sorry, Joe.
Joe, yes. Well, Chris's statement earlier that he had a problem with using tenure for layoffs seems to imply that you'd be getting rid of good teachers and keeping bad ones.
No. That'd be, using tenure for layoffs only means that you're keeping the old teachers and getting rid of the new ones.
So old teachers are bad teachers.
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
you need to judge on merit rather than on age or tenure.
Okay. California Education Code allows for dismissal of teachers due to poor performance.
Great.
And my opinion is
wonderful.
Yeah, but most administrators won't exercise that because it's too much trouble.
Well, then those people should be executed.
No,
look at you trying to steal my press.
What?
The salient point is, how do you determine performance?
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're just going by the grades, then you give people a motivation to hand out undeserved A's.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're just going by tenure, then you're mm-hmm. getting rid of younger people when you're keeping older people.
Dee in Chicago says merit pay should be included. Hi, Dee.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that merit pay should be some type of factor, only that the merit pay shouldn't only be focused on standardized testing or the actual grades that point for standardized testing. Per se, I think it should be a combination of factors, because if you don't do some type of merit, then you stand the risk to keep bad teachers. Now, I would say what they should do is show an improvement. Like, say you're a fifth grade teacher. If you have a child that's reading at the first grade level, when you get them, maybe they're not reading at the fifth grade level at the end of the school year, but if they've made a significant improvement, that should be noticed.
Uh-huh.
On top of, in college, after your classes, you do surveys. The kids that can read, I mean, if you have a good teacher, every kid remembers the best teacher that they had.
Yep.
I'm sure most parents and students would be honest about, did the teacher help you? Did you feel inspired? And even parents could write mm-hmm. surveys. Did they get calls home from the teacher? Did you think the teacher was interested?
Yep.
All those things should take a part. And in that form.
Yep. All right. Okay. We got to move on here. I don't actually your favorite teacher. I'm not sure if it was the best teacher. Mine was always the funniest one.
Well.
All right. Speaking of people reading at the first grade level, Representative Eric Cantor.
It's as if the administration or the congressional Democrats feel that it's a part-time job to address this economy. I mean, that's the emergency now.
What an ass.
You can't do two things at once. My mama told me you can't do it.
You know, I wish someone had tied his
shoes. No, you couldn't do it.
I wish someone had tied his shoes together just then.
Shoved them into the bushes in front of the Y.
Exactly. Other first grade level readers, Bill O'Reilly.
President Obama himself is holding back the recovery.
Ah.
So Talking Points has some advice. First of all, Mr. President, listen to former General Electric CEO Jack Welch, who says you are not focused enough.
Oh, please. Unbelievable. Idiot.
Now he likes GE. Suddenly he thinks GE's the greatest.
It's like, you know, the whole hip bone's connected to the, guess what? Healthcare's connected to the...
Yeah, exactly.
Economy. It's connected to the... Okay. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, the worst person who ever lived.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hawk in Madison on teachers. Hi, Hawk.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, about merit pay, I think people are missing the point. I mean, you had a caller last hour that said she had 1-2% bad teachers. I mean, she must have gone to some fabulous school district because, I mean, in my experience, we have good schools in Madison, but probably 30% were probably not adequate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I remember in high school, people throwing typewriters out windows while a teacher was in class. And so, it's not so much about merit pay, but somehow there has to be some sort of system where teachers, and I'm all for a teachers union, I think it's important to have that, but somehow bad teachers shouldn't be around anymore, you know. And there are a lot of them out there. I mean, there's a lot of good ones too. Okay,
right. Well,
and maybe they should be rewarded.
That's the rub. Is figuring out how you figure that out.
Yeah, but when schools are a war zone, it's hard to attract good people
mm-hmm.
to teach in them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be policemen.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. I was just going to say, I'm not sure that's entirely the teacher's fault that the kids are throwing typewriters out the windows, but okay.
Yeah.
By the way, the smartest boy in class this morning is who? Shafe on the live blog?
No, Peter W. on the live blog.
Peter W. on the live blog.
Yes, he says, the GE CEO that makes jet engines, refrigerators, and Saturday Night Live doesn't think Obama's focused enough?
Yeah.
You're the smartest boy in class, Peter. Okay.
It's very funny.
He's confusing. He's frightening and confusing the right wing.
Yeah.
He's moving too fast. What's he doing?
And apparently, according to Captain Phonesex Jim, he's spending too much money on, you know, crazy liberal things like health care and the economy. And what?
President Obama's vast spending on health care, global warming strategies, alternative energy blueprints,
crazy.
Educational and union infrastructure, and other things liberals love has put additional pressure on a faltering economy.
What?
The president needs a pullback from social engineering.
What?
Huh?
He's creating jobs,
Republicans
want, that is the economy.
Because Republicans want bridges to fall and their kids to be dumb as stumps and have no health care.
Alternative sources of energy is going to be a huge growth industry in this country, thanks to Obama. It'll hire lots of people and do something useful. Give us something we actually need.
They're kind of screechy there on the Fox News Channel, aren't they?
Despite the president's very, very high approval ratings, according to Sean Hannity, really, Jim, things couldn't be any worse.
We've got more debt. We have no confidence in the markets. We have an administration that has had one bad nominee after another.
Yeah, that's the Bush administration, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Okay, Sean.
This campaign, it was about hope and optimism and change, and America could do better. This rhetoric has now evolved into a daily fear-mongering, pessimism, disaster, crisis. We may never recover.
What?
Always negative. And it's always done, JC, to advance an agenda.
Mm.
And I think, if anything, that Barack Obama's doubled down on this negative talk is hurting the country.
When did Obama say, we will never recover?
Don't you remember the we will never recover speech?
I don't remember him ever saying, we may never recover.
Didn't. Sean Hannity's stock and trade. He says things the president never said, and then he argues why they were wrong.
Like what Martin Luther King said, I have a bleem. He clearly said
that.
Right. What? Exactly.
All right. Carl Rove on Hannity. Ugh.
Well, they've got too much on their plate. They're not focused on the important things.
No.
They've got a decision-making structure that doesn't appear to stay focused on the big things.
Focus.
And they have failed to put people in place in critical agencies, particularly the Treasury Department, to help them confront the big challenge that faces the country.
Mm.
All the talking points.
Yeah.
In the same order.
Hmm.
As Hannity just did in the bite before.
Hmm. All right. Stefania in Santa Barbara is glad that the president lost focus for a minute to do craziness like stem cell research and other scientific... Ugh. Stefania, you're on the Stefania. Stefania?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yes. I was going to say, I'm so glad he lifted the ban on stem cell research because, you know, this is going to help also diseases that are not on the breaking news every single day, like cancer, Alzheimer, or Parkinson's disease. There's diseases that affect children, for example, like SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, that it's not in the breaking news every day. And children affected by the most severe type of these disease, type 1, for example, don't make it to age 2. And so I'm really, really, really happy that
the return, the return of science. All right. You know what Eric Cantor would say to her?
No! No, Stefania! No!
President has to focus!
President is wasting money on health. Who needs that?
Chris in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, that's my favorite drop. I haven't heard that in a while. I'm calling in because I'm a little bit troubled by some of the teachers that are calling in and saying that, you know, they don't like merit pay because it pits teacher against teacher, and why should I share my files and that kind of stuff. It's not like there's only 100 A's and there's 90 students, and if you're not the teacher that has most of the A's students in your class, you get the merit pay. You get the merit pay, don't you? Maybe I'm wrong, but you get the merit pay for reaching a goal, and all the teachers can reach that goal. Can they not?
You know,
I that's confusing to me.
Yeah,
why they think it's a battle.
I don't know. I'm, that's what I mean. I don't know. That's the problem. There's an idea, and then it's like, how does it work in practice? So I don't know all the.
Yeah, the idea may be good, but in theory, but in reality, yeah,
right. The first thing that comes to mind is how is a NAC not going to encourage them to just get A's unnecessarily?
Exactly.
There was a math teacher who got fired because she wasn't giving out enough A's.
Mm-hmm.
The kids didn't deserve A's. That's why she did that.
Heather in what? A communist. Heather in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I'm a teacher in Long Beach, and even though I know that teachers play a pivotal role in student achievement, I also know how much parental involvement affects success.
Mm-hmm.
My idea was if parents were given a tax break for their child maintaining a certain GPA, it would definitely create an incentive for parents to stay involved and help their children succeed in school.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, that's another interesting thought. Let's go to James in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I was calling.
Although, should parents be paid to to raise their children well?
No,
I don't know.
No.
All right, James, go ahead.
I was calling up to talk about or to say that Japan follows the Deming method, a lot of their companies, and they've proven over and over again that it works. And Dr. Deming wrote a book specifically stating that merit-based pay should never be used in education because it's divisive and it breaks the team. It takes a team to produce a student that leaves a school, not just one person.
Mm-hmm. It takes a village. I just thought of that.
That's good. You should write a book.
I think I'll write a book about that. Alan in Boca Raton, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm on the MOOCs.
Yeah.
First thing, with this whole thing about Eric Cantor, and they're all saying that Obama can't do more than one thing at the same time. You got to remember, they just had a president that we have documented facts that he could not walk and eat pretzels at the same time.
Thank you. Exactly. We understand it's confusing. Try to follow along. Can't someone give Eric Cantor the Cliff Notes or something? Hello, Tim in Richmond.
Hey, Steph. Eric used to be my representative.
I'm sorry.
I got redistricted to a different right-wing tool. he is really slow, and he, of course, that makes him an up-and-coming leader in the Republican Party.
Right.
But look, right-wing Scott, I know you're probably happy about Eric Cantor, but he's Jewish.
What?
Oh, what? Okay, Lee in Madison has had entirely too much education this morning. Hello, Lee.
Well, good morning. Yeah, I think you're just becoming flabbergasted when people start talking about education and you don't know how to respond. I think you have to get back into the John Boehner type talk, like when the rumor was that, let's see, Cindy McCain was having...
Banging a used car salesman.
Used car salesman. Uh-huh. Is that the Boehner?
That's an entirely different system Boehner story. We normally refer to John Boehner. What? John Boehner, the House Minority Leader.
What kind of Boehner story were you talking about?
Not the same one he was. He would like us to get back to the fart humor. Okay. All right. Oh, I feel better.
Do farts and boners go together?
No.
Ooh, I hope not.
42 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest spending bill and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, we don't need no education.
That's
we don't
different
need
song
no
altogether.
Thought control. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mary in Seattle on Teachers. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I have a 15-year-old daughter, which is a whole other story.
Yeah, I'm sure
but,
it is.
When my daughter was in the third grade, I volunteered in her classroom, and there were 23 kids in her classroom. The teacher needed a full-time social worker just to deal with the problems that these kids come to school with. I also come from a family of educators, I'm not really certain what the answer is, but I think it's important for people to also know that these kids come with insurmountable problems, and I think that the majority of the teachers are good, do care, but I think that it is important for people to know about just some of the problems that these kids come to school with.
Yep, absolutely. Most teachers just do it for the glamour and the private jets and stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what my sister does. My sister's a teacher.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Kevin in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Merit and Pay as well. Hi, Kev.
Hey, hi, guys. You have an idea about making basically the teachers' educations free, because as it is now, they pretty much pay for their own job training, and it's maybe after 3 or 5
years. Yeah, I know a teacher, a friend of a friend's, who's she has to buy, like, supplies for her kids she wants to,
My fiance's a teacher at a school for deaf kids with special needs, and it is it's almost impossible to see. Proven enough that would earn her a higher pay. I mean, the kids she works with are really tough.
Yeah.
So, you know, after maybe a few years, your student loans are forgiven.
Yeah.
If you work at a public school, you know what I mean?
Right. Yep. Let's go to Jen in Chicago on science. Hello, Jen.
Good morning, guys. You're the only reason I get up and drive to work in the morning. I love your show.
Wow, that is could possibly be a sadder life than mine, but go ahead.
Right. I was wondering if all of these conservatives that are so against the stem cell research are going to refuse treatment or cures for themselves and their kids if they were developed using stem cell research.
They should. If these cures are developed, they should refuse them.
Yep. Exactly, on principle.
Mm-hmm.
They should refuse the money that the stimulus package is going to give to their states.
No! Talking to you, David Bitter.
I'm not going to... Well, oh, thanks.
Oh,
this is terrible.
For Louisiana? Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Congress sent President Obama a once bipartisan bill to fund the domestic cabinet agencies that has evolved instead into the whole, like you said, hypocritical fight over the earmarks that the Republicans screamed about and then took them. Obama expected to sign the measure today to avoid a partial shutdown of the government, but the White House has kept the bill at arm's length, calling it last year's business. And you know why that is, Jim? Because it's last year's business.
Yeah.
It was supposed to have been completed last fall. He is also set to announce steps aimed at curbing lawmakers' so-called earmarks. But this bill has been in the works for a long time. So,
since before Obama was in office.
I think you can't change everything about this government overnight. I think he's certainly going to try.
There are earmarks in the bill, but most of them were proposed by Republicans.
That's right.
Oops. Thank you.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Senator Harry Reid on the Senate floor.
Where were the 8 years of the red ink of George Bush, the biggest deficits in history of this country?
Yeah, and they're suddenly, as we know, the party of no. Senator Reid.
They suddenly are opposed to everything. And it's not helping Republicans around this country, Madam President. You got to be in favor of something.
Thank you. Senator Mitch McChinless of the state of Kentucky.
This total unwillingness to cut a single dollar from this bill is simply indefensible.
For instance, there was supposed to be funding to get him actual
an
lips.
Upper lip.
Yes, an upper lip.
Y'all are so mean to something we can't help.
I specifically asked for an upper lip in the bill. It's not there. I don't understand why we can't get me an upper lip.
If the president's looking for a first bill to veto, this is it.
That's right. You gotta veto that bill. What?
Think of his wife. Think of kissing that. Come on. Okay, and then, of course, we have the boner.
We have 146 Republicans who will stand with him to support and sustain his veto over a bill that, again, is $30 billion over budget and has 9,000 earmarks in it. It's everything that he said that he was never going to be for when he ran for president. Now it's time for him to keep his word.
And most of the earmarks are proposed by Republicans.
If he doesn't, I'll throw things and I'll cry.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
And throwing stuff. Don't let it throw it across the room.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
Oh, my foot.
It's online. Yeah. You could look at it online.
Okay. In the ongoing edition of Republicans Eating Their Own, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh's getting in a little bit of a spat with Newt Gingrich.
It's a man fight.
You know, I'm frankly getting tired of talking about Newt.
That's my word, frankly.
And
it's It's a pointless exercise. I know that Newt would give his whatever to have what I've got.
Yes.
So would any of these other critics of mine.
Frankly, I would love a brain deep fried in hillbilly heroin and a permanent stiffy from frankly. Mike Gallagher on O'Reilly.
Newt doesn't like being part of a phony debate that's been set up by the left as to whether or not Rush Limbaugh is the face of the Republican Party. Newt has always been great at defining what Republicans are about, what Republicans are for, and putting Democrats on the defensive. And I think that I think Newt is probably mildly annoyed that a radio host, even one as prominent as Rush, has created so many headlines over all this. And I think both of these men acknowledge that it's a disingenuous debate. It's just something that's been ginned up by the left to try to fracture the Republican Party even further, and that's just not what Newt is about.
Woohoo! We did it! We did it again!
The left isn't organized enough.
We made Newt and Rush get to fight! Woohoo! Fight!
The left isn't organized enough to do something that complicated.
It was just Rahm Emanuel calling Rush Limbaugh the de facto head of the Republican Party.
Yes!
Which is true.
And that drove the right absolutely.
So let me get this straight. We made Newt Gingrich say the thing about Rush Limbaugh, and then we made Rush react.
The Democrats, frankly, turned me into a ginormous ego, frankly, and Rush as well. Before that, we were wallflowers. Didn't really say much. But suddenly, frankly.
Oh, there's nothing I love better than a tubby Republican man fight. Citing
they should sumo wrestle.
Oh, that'd be great.
On pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like that scene in Borat.
Rush would just crush him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Citing an overwhelming response of tens of thousands of replies, the DNC has narrowed down its top five messages from supporters to Rush Limbaugh. We can fix America, just don't rush it. That's one of them. The winning slogan will be placed on a billboard in Limbaugh's hometown of West Palm Beach, where he can't miss it. The responses poured in after the DNC sent an email to its supporter urging Democrats to talk back to the right-wing radio personality. Let's go to Becky in Arizona on schools and the teachers. Hello, Becky.
Hello. I want to talk about education a little bit, and I want people to kind of focus away from teachers and look at the structure of the school. Everybody's making the assumption that administrators know what they're doing, which really is often not the case because they haven't been in a classroom, some of them, ever. They're assuming that school boards know what they're doing, which isn't really true because many of them are made up of parents that have a specific agenda because their kid is interested in band or football or science or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're making the assumption that superintendents know what they're doing, which really isn't the case in a lot of school districts. And in fact, in a lot of schools, if you put the secretaries in charge, you're probably going to be better off. I was 32 years in the classroom, and standardized testing are screwing kids up. What you need to do is teach kids to think and to have confidence to think and have confidence mm-hmm. to ask questions and have the ability and
exactly.
And
listen,
themselves.
I wouldn't have gotten anywhere if I was afraid I was going to fail because I've done it over and over again.
You're stifling the exact thing that made America, which is mm-hmm. the creative ability and the confidence to step out and take risks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Oops, sorry, honey.
Well, the Bush administration didn't want intelligent people. They wanted drones who would do what they're told.
Exactly. Zach in Bellingham, Washington. Hello, Zach.
Hello. I was calling about the merit pay for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I am all for it right after we base the pay for the president on merit and all the members of Congress and firemen, police officers. I just think it's kind of funny that we'd hold teachers to a different standard than everyone else.
Yeah, I don't think the boner would be taking home much extra scratch.
No.
Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Greetings, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep, go ahead.
I like what the guy just said about merit pay across the board for even our firefighters. What a concept. I can join the crowd of saying merit pay is bogus. And I just walked out of a staff meeting where we were at the school, and we were talking about two kiddos potentially for testing for special ed. And, you know, these kids may or may not qualify for special ed, but back in the old days, even a hint of special needs just institutionalized these kids right away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, out of time for today. Thanks for all the great calls. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.